I am Sue T. Dreyer at Ingleside, Texas. These remarks that I am making cover a period of from about 1905 to 1920, and they are events that transpired in Gilead County, which was similar to the activities in all the surrounding counties, DeWitt, Victoria, and Refugio counties. My early memories of school was of a one-room building without any conveniences at all, very little furniture, and two teachers. Children were grouped sometimes according to size of the books that they could handle. There was no such thing as text provided by the state. Everyone had to buy their own books, and many times parents were not able to buy sufficient books for all of the children. And so, of course, different ones and different families and different neighbors had to share their books. Teachers that taught out in these schools were fine people in most cases, though their educational qualifications were limited because of the inability that had been theirs in attending schools. However, most teachers out in these schools taught on what was then called certificates. They would generally go and take a examination or go to a summer school, which was called a normal, and take an examination, and if they passed, they were given certificates, first, second, and even third grade certificates. The roads in that day and time were just pure dirt country roads. They were kept up by the convicts, county convicts. They put them out generally to work the roads, and then all of the men in the community, they would have a day, perhaps once a month or twice within a period of 3 or 4 months, and they would go out and work the roads. And that was as far as any upkeep of public highways. Most of the traveling was done by horseback, wagon, or buggies. The living or the economic situation came from perhaps ranching or farming. There was not a great variety of crops. Generally, corn and cotton were the two main crops. And, of course, all of the work was done by hand. No such things as tractors existed in those days. The cotton was picked by hand and hauled to the gins and ginned and shipped away out of the communities by train. During these years that I'm speaking of, there was very little oil activity or exploration in the area of which I am speaking. However, as everyone knows, in later years, it came to be a very, very rich oil-producing area in the state of Texas. The business houses and the rural communities, which generally had a community center consisting perhaps of a store, general merchandise, and always a saloon. And of course, the saloons were the place of iniquities in those days and times. And we as kids were cautioned to not even look in the door when we passed by. And when we passed by, we were cautioned to hurry by because of the sinfulness of the place. The stores were general merchandise, and you could buy anything that was on the market in those stores at that time. It's funny, I remember the experience of molasses. It was shipped into those stores in great barrels, and of course in the summertime it got real active, and it was very likely that there might be an explosion of the molasses barrels and in the stores, and always, of course, that created a lot of fun, particularly for kids that were around if a molasses barrel exploded. The means by which most of the rural people lived and did their shopping, there was no such thing as credit cards or installment buying. I know in my particular family, we lived on a yearly account. We bought everything we wanted at the mercantile store, and it was paid for at the end of the year. In fact, a man's word was much better and carried a lot more of truthfulness in it then than it does now, sad to say. We had all few real telephones. People would put in their own telephone. Six or seven families would be on a party line, so naturally you never did get much service out of your telephone because of the large group of people that was trying to use it. We did have a train through the area that came twice a day, and we got most of our news when the train would come through. When World War I ended and the armistice had been signed, I happened to have been one whose husband was in France at that time. In fact, I had never heard from him from the time he left home until the war was over, because communication was very, very poor. And so on that particular day after the armistice was signed, the train came in. And I had been employed by the railroad, and all of the men who operated the train knew how concerned I was about the war, and they just couldn't wait to light from that train to tell me that the war was over and that my husband would soon be coming home. But that wasn't true, because it was a long, long time before he came home. But that's where we got most of our news, was when the train would come through twice a day, and it brought our mail. We had a little post office at that time. Politics and politicians were kind of scarce. We didn't have much political activity. I am reminded of how elections were carried on, and I wonder now what happened in those elections. Of course, women didn't even have the vote at that time. There were just a few men in the community who voted. My brother always helped with the elections, and I recall so vividly that my mother would rise at 4:30 in the morning for him to get ready to go to help with the election, and he would get home at 12 o'clock at night. And I am sure there wasn't over 20 votes cast in that election. I don't know what they did all day at those elections, but it was a great event. We school kids were getting a holiday when a general election time came, so that we could have an election in the town. I do not recall too many bandits, as bandits are not known. There was a lot of cattle thieving. I think that is about the worst crime, was people, rustlers perhaps, stealing cattle. And there was a murder. Now, I'm not sure about the dates, but it's well known in Texas history. It was a Condit family murder. They lived at Edna. The whole family was murdered. And as time went on in the trial, the men who did the murdering were captured. And whether both of them was hanged in the city of Victoria or not, I'm not sure, but I know that one of them was hanged, and they had a holiday, and the train ran a special excursion so that people could go to this hanging. I'm almost afraid to say, but I think one of the men that was hanged was named Gibson. I do not remember the other. But anyway, I know the school that I was attending had a holiday so that kids could go to this hanging. I did not go because my mother did not allow us to participate in such activities. shopping was done on a bi-yearly basis. Generally, girls in a family had two costumes for the year. When the fall would come, they'd have a new winter outfit, and when spring would come, they would have a spring outfit. Now, we lived 10 miles from the town of Gilead, where the courthouse was, the county seat of government, and one or two stores. So we would drive a distance of 10 miles to do our shopping for our winter outfit and for our spring outfit. And we dressed very beautifully. We thought at that time, this sounds ridiculous. I'm sure nobody will believe it, but we could take $10 and get ourselves an entire outfit for either season and be well dressed. We attended church in a Methodist church. Everybody went to church. You didn't know whether you was Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, or whatnot. Maybe more the Catholics than otherwise, but we all went to the same church. And about once a year, we'd have a great revival, and everybody would get religion. And there'd be all kind of activities in the community for a while. Then, after the summer was over and the revival was gone, a lot of the religion went with the revival. I can remember so well my mother taking a brother just older than me, and she would put us on a pallet down under the benches. At night, we would sleep while the preachers preached and the people sang and got religion. We had a peculiar, I guess it is to me now, racial feeling or situation. There was never such a thing as ill will, apparently, on the surface among the races, which was Mexican and Negro and the white. Everybody would say, oh, we love the Negroes. We just love Aunt Ann and Uncle Tom and everybody. But that was as far, generally, as it went. And I have often pondered our attitudes toward race in those days and times. The Mexicans, of course, were used for laborers, generally a family who owned a farm or a ranch, would have several places where large groups of Mexicans, or maybe a family with three or four families in one family, would come and live for the season, and they would harvest the crops and perhaps cut wood for the winter, and whoever property they were living on would stand good for them at this community mercantile store to buy their groceries and then pay for them when they had finished working. Our doctors were few and far between. Generally, illnesses were cared for by neighbors, and particularly the women in the neighborhood would go and take care of sick people in the community. And if the case was serious enough, perhaps you could get a doctor to come out in the country, make a house call, which is unheard of these days. They would have to come by way of horse and buggy. And so, of course, it was perhaps a two-day and a night trip to go to see some sick person out in the country. So, of course, there were many illnesses that we know now that were not properly taken care of. Had they been, perhaps the story would have been different. Home remedies were used, and that was about as much as one could do when they were so far away from a doctor. the activities of social life was community-wide, and big functions would be held, parties and dances, and generally there were some local people who could play the fiddle, as it was called, and pick the guitar and play the banjo, and so they would play for the dances, and of course all kind of square dancing was done, and party games, many of them, folk dances as we know them now, were used, and the entire communities would go. These activities were always on the weekend because very little activity, social life was carried on during the week because of the distances and the work that was carried on in the on the farms or the ranches. They could not go because of the distances to social activities during the week. We used to have lots of what we call house parties. I often think of my dear mother, the many hours she spent in the kitchen cooking to feed. Oh, we had a big family, as many perhaps as 10 or 12 boys and girls who had come spend the weekend. That meant from Friday evening till Sunday night. So you can imagine something of what it took. We'd never have a weekend party like that now under the circumstance such as we had then. Weddings were great occasions always. And any kind of, we used to have socials that were called, oh, we'd have oyster suppers, and the community would order oysters, and the men would fry them, cook them in any manner that they knew to cook them, and it would be a great money-making event for the school or the church or whatever the occasion was. Of course, from the days that I have been describing until now, life is so very, very different that, yes, I want to tell you about the songs. Were always cowboy songs and love songs, these weeping, wailing, moaning love songs, and cowboy that was dressed in white linen would just make us shed tears when it was sung. And it seems that most of the entertainment that we had consisted of entertainment done by the those who were taking part in the festivities are in the social affairs, because there was no such thing as having entertainers come in. So we learned to sing and play the organ, and on Sunday evenings we had what we call singings, and all the young people would meet at somebody's home and we would sing lustily for hours on the end if we could have somebody to play the organ, which was, there were more organs than there were pianos in the homes at that time. Life then was so vastly different from what it is today that it sounds almost unbelievable, and it does create interest and raises questions in the eyes of the youth today when they hear about the way that we lived in those days, particularly concerning finances and the material things that we have to use today. For instance, automobiles and boats and all kind of material means by which we can seek entertainment and pastime.